House Armed Services Committee's marking up the Pentagon's 2015 defense authorization bill as we speak. Chairman Buck McKeon has a series of proposals to appropriate more than $2 billion worth of unobligated funds into next year. He wants to balance that with some targeted spending cuts. John Donnelly is editor of Congressional Quarterly's defense blog and watching this markup as it progresses. John, thanks very much for watching, and you're certainly welcome to watch and talk at the same time if you can multitask. I encourage that. Thank you for being on the program this afternoon. Are we seeing any movement on some of the big issues that the Defense Department has been out front on, such as BRAC?
Well, we're seeing a movement if you consider STOP to be the movement, which is basically the message that the House Armed Services Committee has sent. The Pentagon wanted to have another round of base closures, another commission in 2017. The committee is saying, no, sir. However, they have left the door open slightly for a future round by saying to the Defense Department, give us some more information about your inventory of your infrastructure worldwide. It appears that they are at least enabling the Defense Department to make a better case in the future. It's a slight acknowledgement that the infrastructure issue has to be dealt with, but we need to be clear. For this year, the answer is no from the House Armed Services Committee, and I predict you will have the same answer from the Senate Armed Services Committee when they get around to writing their version of the bill.
And you make a terrific point that we'll talk about more in just a few moments. Anything controversial so far? The Defense Authorization Act is always known as a magnet for all kinds of stragglers that come along that don't have anything to do with the defense of the United States.
You're right. That is the tradition, the noble tradition of of non-defense stuff creeping in. But as far as I have seen so far, there hasn't been too much in that regard. Now, they are still fairly early, so relatively speaking, in the markup. They often do some of the stuff out of left field, or actually it's usually out of right field, toward the end of the mark. And when they do stuff that doesn't pertain to a particular committee on, CPOWER or readiness, or right now they're in more of the nuts and bolts category, so they may get around to that. There's plenty of controversies in here, but they're not so much non-military controversies. So, like, for example, gays in the military, is a military issue, but I mean more social issues, mm-hmm. like women in the military, gays in the military. That's the kind of immigration's another one that has crept in the past. Also, sometimes this stuff comes in later after the committee and even after a full chamber has passed the bill when they're getting to the end game in the conference. And sometimes you'll see extraneous issues come in as part of the hardball negotiations that go on. You know, because defense is a must-pass piece of legislation, it's often held hostage by one side or the other in an attempt to get their particular pet issue, get some airtime for it. So we often see that, like, in December.
Is this mark going off pretty much the way other marks have gone on the NDAA, John?
I would say so. In terms of the amount of time it takes, in terms of the process.
Yeah, all of that.
Like the subcommittees, for example, they almost never take up any amendments. The amendments are all punted to the full committee, which is one of the reasons why this day is such a long day, because there are so many amendments that get deferred from the subcommittee to the committee, to the full committee consideration. So in terms of process, it's basically the same, and I would say it's similar in this regard, that the House Armed Services Committee has definitely rewritten the president's budget request, and they do every year. I don't think that this may be different in the particulars, but in terms of the overall thrust, and that is, we're going to do it our way, that is very similar. And our way tends to be fairly parochial, to be frank. They are defending weapon systems that are built in their districts, and that's kind of where they're coming from. And now when we get farther down the road, the Senate might take a little bit of a broader view on some of these things, and say, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we may need to cut that in the broader interest of national security or the country's interest in general, as opposed to what one district or another might need.
John Donnelly's editor of CQ's defense blog. You mentioned the Senate, and you have several times in our conversation, and that makes it calls my attention to the fact that whatever the HASC decides today, this is still a long, long way from being settled. We're still not to the floor of the House, and we still haven't seen any movement on the Senate side, John.
Absolutely. Now, the House doesn't usually, they amend it a little bit, but most of what the House is going to do on this bill will be done today. But you're absolutely right. The Senate is going to take not a completely different take. They will have a lot of things that are in common, but there will be key flashpoints that will be different in the Senate bill. Also, now this is a fact that is not very widely appreciated. There's no actual money in this bill. They are authorizing the spending of money, but the actual money is contained in the appropriations legislation. The House Defense Subcommittee has yet to act. The Senate Defense Subcommittee has yet to act. And those spending bills, we have not yet seen. So this is really just one quarter of the process that is unfolding at the committee level today.
John, your roll call colleague David Hawkins tells me on an ongoing basis that there's still a fair amount of optimism about the potential to complete the appropriations bills in general, more broadly, at least some of them by the September 30th expiration of the current fiscal year. Is that the case within the members of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittees and the Armed Services Committees on both sides of the Hill?
Well, I would say they're nervous about it for a couple reasons. First of all, the main reason being that this is an election year and that October is kind of gone because members just take off to go campaign. And so they really do have to get it done in September because they could do a CR and just, you know, for a month or two. But then if they punt it till after the elections, and let's say the Republicans take the Senate, the Republicans will almost surely keep the House, but there's a decent chance that they could take the Senate. If they do, then there will be an incentive on their behalf to just have another CR and punt it into 2015 when their hand will be strengthened and they'll have a greater influence on what the bill would say. So the other thing there are a couple other things that are a problem. Number one, the appropriators are kind of delaying the introduction of the defense appropriations bill. They're going to make it one of the last trains to leave the station, as they typically do. And another issue is the war spending. We're still waiting to find out how much the administration is going to need for the war budget because the Afghan president, whoever that's going to be, has yet to sign off on a bilateral security agreement that will enable the United States forces to stay after this year. So there are a number of factors that are pushing this farther and farther towards September, but if you don't get it done in September, the odds that you don't get it done at all in 2014 escalate.
John Donnelly, editor of CQ's defense blog, watching the markup of the National Defense Authorization Act this afternoon. Terrific insight, John. Thanks very much for coming on the program.
My pleasure.